Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for inviting me in your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. The day the Lord has made, the Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. Well, this is February. This is our birthday month. I appreciate Daryl Olson from out in Arizona, one of my web servers, who sent me a nice offering on the broadcast and a happy birthday wish. And also, this is Martha's going home birthday this last of the month. So this month holds a lot of memories for us. So we're going to do this song for you, and then we've got something different we're going to do. We're going to just go into a sermon that I want to preach, and I want to preach just about all of the sermon. So I'm going to do this one song, and then I'm going to do the sermon for you. So I want to wish Carol and Ann Cole a great day. I hope that they're feeling much better, and all of our sick and shut in that is out there listening to the broadcast this morning. I hope you're doing well, and hope this broadcast will just lighten your day for you. So let's get right into this song right here.
I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stands the captain. I can hear as he calls out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion, and it may never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Father, your word for your people, All God's people said it. Amen. You may be seated. Not many years ago, we had one of the greatest disasters this world has ever known. Not because it was any different than any other disaster, but it came to our own homeland. We had been in foreign fields and fought. We fought in Germany. We fought in Japan. We had gone through many battles. Victoriously, we had won those battles. But one day, all of a sudden, we all woke up to CNN news, and the news of the country was that planes were flying into the towers. Buildings were being collapsed, and our nation was in panic. We were finally at war in our own homeland. Well, from the White House came a call to one of the greatest preachers of our time, whose name was Billy Graham, a name that I guess everyone in the entire world knows the name of Billy Graham. Billy Graham was asked to come to the White House, and Franklin, his son, was to come with him because his father was aging and not able to go like he used to. Graham wrote in a book that I read, and I appreciate Cheryl who gave it to me. And that's where I draw this from. But Franklin Graham said that his father had taken off and was going to Washington, D.C., and from there he was going to speak to the cabinet, and from there it would be aired all over the world. All over the world they would hear Billy Graham's message and prayer that would be given in this time of great disaster. So Franklin Graham, in his statement, made the statement. He said, as we flew to Washington, D.C., he said, I had flown many times, but this time things were quite different. Even the heavens were quiet. The planes were not flying in the air like they once was. Security was heavier than it had ever been. And then when they came to Washington, D.C., and Billy Graham stood before the mic, and his voice heard all over these other different nations, because many people had lost their lives there in the towers. And here is part of that message that Billy Graham preached. And it says this: this week, we have watched in horror as planes have crashed into buildings and the World Tower Trade Center. Those majestic buildings that were built upon solid foundations, yet under all of the debris is a very strong foundation. And that foundation was not destroyed. Yes, our nation stands after being attacked. Buildings attacked, and lives of many were lost. Now we have a choice, emotionally and spiritually, as a people and as a nation. Yes, the destruction was great, and the lives were lost, but the foundation still stands solid, and we still can rebuild. That was the message that Billy Graham gave to the world at that time. Now you will say to me, preacher, what's that got to do with erosion? Well, erosion is a silent thing. Erosion can happen in such a silent way, but in such a positive way that it can happen before we ever realize what really is happening. And today I feel that we need to challenge the church and ask the question, is your life in a state of erosion? Are you faced with a disaster? Are you faced with a situation which is slowly deteriorating or taking away the foundation for which your hope, your faith, and everything you are is established? That's what erosion is all about. An elderly gentleman takes a young boy down to a creek bed. And this elderly gentleman says to his young grandson, he says, "Son, this creek has managed to change a little bit every year." The young man could not understand what he was talking about. He said, "Grandpa, what are you talking about?" Well, he said, "As the water flows, if it gets higher, it takes away from the bank, and erosion begins to happen." And so they drove a stake. They drove an iron stake right there beside that creek bed. And his grandfather told him, he said, "Now, when you come back next year, we will examine the stake and see if we've had any erosion." Well, the grandson didn't know a whole lot about what he was talking about. But the following year, they came back to that place. And his grandfather called his attention to that and said, "Son, your grandson, do you remember when we drove that stake? We drove it right here, right?" And he said, "Yes, grandfather, but something's happened." He said, "It's moved in, and part of the bank is now gone. That was erosion. It had beat again the bank, and it had taken away some of the soil. And it had moved in 8 inches. The following year, the grandfather wrote back to his grandson and said, "I examined our stake that we drove and said, now it has moved in 12 inches. No wonder the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest we fall." Paul also warned the Corinthians in 1 and 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such that is common unto man." Note what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But keep under your body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself may become a castaway." The question I ask today, is erosion happening in your spiritual life? You see, just as it happened to that creek bed, just as it happened to the towers in New York City, we could be faced with the same spiritual situation today and not even realize it. Is that what Paul said in the last days there would come a great falling away? Is the church morally? Is the church morally, physically, mentally, and spiritually faced with the erosion? Is our life slowly being taken away from us? Take heed, the Bible said, lest when you think you stand, then you fall. Because erosion is that thing that slowly, but suddenly, and surely takes away all of the spiritual empathy that we once had. It is always slow and silent, but at the final last blow, it can become very serious. Now, both of these buildings face the same situation. Jesus talked about two buildings. One was built upon a rock, and one was built upon the sand. Now, I want you to notice something else here, that both buildings face the same ordeal as the other building. There was no exceptions. The stone building, the brick building, faced the same storms, the same situations that the one that was built upon the sand was facing. And what I'm trying to say to you today is we better be very careful. We ought to be careful and more cautious about the life that we're living. You see, nobody gets up in the morning. And I hope there's no one like that here. Have you ever got up on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning and made this statement? "Now, what can I do today to ruin my life or to ruin my reputation?" You see, no one intends to do that. Jimmy Baker never intended to do that. Jimmy Swaggart never intended to do that. Backsliding is not intentionally. It's not a blowout. It's only a slow leak. And one day, you may wake up to realize you have a flat tire. But that flat tire did not come all of a sudden. It was come because there was a slow leak in that tire. I stopped to ask a man one day who had a flat. I happened to carry a couple of cans of Fix-A-Flat. I've got caught out on the road and had a flat tire. And there's nothing any worse than having flat tires out on the highway. And I stopped and asked him. I said, "Sir, can I help you?" He looked back at me and he said, "Sir, I appreciate you stopping, but there ain't nobody can help me in my situation." And I said, "Well, I got some Fix-A-Flat." He said, "Fix-A-Flat ain't going to fix this flat." He said, "Because this tire is literally blown apart and can no longer be used." And what I'm saying to you today is erosion, just like the water laps away from the earth, spiritually, erosion can come to our spiritual life until the point that we become flat and the air is gone, and now we're running around on a flat tire because all of a sudden this happened. Nobody plans these things. Nobody plans to bring corruption in their life. Nobody plans to cause anything in a moral way to cause yourself problem. I preach a sermon sometime called "Don't Trouble Trouble Till Trouble Troubles You." Jonah didn't intend to get in trouble. Jonah intended to go to Nineveh to preach. But all of a sudden, erosion began in his life. He began to say, "Well, why should I go when no one else is going?" And spiritual erosion began in his life. And the next thing you know, he's on his way to Tarsus instead of Nineveh. So none of us plan those things. If you're here this morning, you have not planned those things. Morally, you have not planned to bring destruction to your life. Morally, you have not planned to bring anything into your life that will hurt your life. But there's a spiritual erosion that goes on in our life. And we must be cautious and very careful of how that we handle our life. Every day, we could begin to fall. The Bible said, "Take heed lest you fall." And we ought to be more cautious and more careful. You say, "Well, preacher, you're telling me I got to run for aid?" No. You don't have to run for aid. You just got to be totally committed to God. When you're not totally committed to God, then you ought to be afraid. The Bible said, Paul said, "He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, I don't say today you can get saved today and lost tomorrow. I think that backsliding is not a blowout, it's a slow leak. But a lot of our spiritual problems come because we are not cautious enough as Christians. The Bible said, "Neglecting not to assemble ourselves in the house of God." When you don't go to the house of God, every time you miss, you are going to miss something. You need spiritual growth. The Bible said we have neglected to assemble ourselves in the house of God. I think we need to be in God's house. I think we need to be with God's people. But every day is a day that I could begin to fall. You see, now I realize that every day I could make a big mistake. Every day I'm faced with temptations. I'm faced with things that can really destroy and corrupt my life. Paul stated it like this: "The things I would do, I don't do. And the things that I do, I'm very cautious at what I do. Because I realize that the world are fastening their eyes upon me, and I've got to be very careful." Now let me tell you about these things also. Every day is a day that I could choose to compromise. I could secretly compromise. I could silently compromise, and the world would never know it. I could be backslid and standing in behind the sacred desk, and you would never know it. Because secretly and silently, I am not going to broadcast it. those that are close to you may realize there's something going in your life. You're not as spiritual as you used to be. You're not as committed as you used to be. And don't you ever think that they're not noticing that. Everybody around you can notice your fall, and maybe you have never realized that you have fallen. I remember Wednesday night we talked about falling and coming short to the glory of God. I missed two good bucks this year. I missed them because I fail and come short. I shot one time right over one's back, and I missed him point blank. I shot at another big 10-point buck. I thought he was a 10-pointer, and he stood there as though making fun of me. I knew he was going to fall in a minute because I'm a good shot. I got a good gun, and finally he walked away. I fell short because I was too overconfident. I knew I had him dead. But you see, there are those that are around you that can begin to sense when you are in this erosion. They know how your spiritual life is going. It shows all around you. But the world at large may never know until that erosion has taken the soul from its foundation. And then the building would fall. There is no one knows your condition but you and God. But you must always be mind conscious. God knows exactly who you are, where you are, what you are, and how you're living for Him. God can never be fooled at no time. His eyes go to and fro. His arm is not short that He cannot reach. Another thing I need to do, realize that when erosion starts, it begins to eat away just a little bit here and a little bit there. Undermine me spiritually and also physically. No wonder we're having such a great big fall away. People today are falling away spiritually. You know, you can take a house and never realize that termites are undermining that house. You can look at a piece of timber, and Jim is a real estate man, and he knows what to look at when he looks at a house. You can look at that timber and it can look solid. It can look like it's just like the day it was put there. But termites inside that timber can be eating away from the inside of that timber until it finally collapses. And we also can have spiritual termites in our lives. Spiritual termites that are eating away the spiritual desire of our life. Eating away the joy of my salvation. You see, David didn't realize that. David didn't realize that once he looked, then that desire become so great that he would go as far as to go to murder to get what he wanted because spiritual erosion began in his life. Samson did not realize when he saw this lovely lady that it would eventually cause him his life, his eyesight, and a laughing stock of the country. Why? Because spiritual erosion began in his life. Spiritual erosion began to eat away and gnaw away and take away the spiritual part of the epitome of his soul. Then we need to have a regular evaluation. Do you ever evaluate your life? You know, I don't know. I had a talk with myself the other day. I'm not satisfied with my life. I'm not satisfied that I've been preaching for over 47 years, and I ask myself, when will I ever reach the peak? When will I ever reach the peak of where I want to be with God? I don't think I ever will. I don't want to ever be satisfied. I want to always feel that desire that there's always one more notch, one more height, just a little bit more that I can reach in my spiritual goal for God. Martha says that I shoot too high. She says I reach too high. My expectations are too high. But you know with me, my friend, when God called me to preach, you know what I said to Him? Hey, Lord, the sky is the limit. There is no height, there is no depth, and I don't want to ever be comfortable and satisfied. I evaluate my life. Have you ever sat down and took an evaluation? Have you ever really evaluated where you are when you started? Why, you know, when I was a young boy, I couldn't hardly wait to grow up. And now I'm an old man, and I wish I'd have never grown up. I wish I'd have stayed back when I was young. I used to get in the walls, and my sisters would take a pencil, and they would mark me. And I would stretch just as high as I could stretch. I'd have my hair in a big pompadour, and I'd tell them to go to the top of my hair. And I'd stand there, and they'd make a mark. Well, I'd go back the next day, and I'd stretch just a little bit farther, and they'd make another mark. I was so excited about growing up. Church, have we ever evaluated ourselves? Where are we at right now? Are we exactly where...
Never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Well, neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who was calling his wife simply to say goodbye. I was holding his finger steady as he was dialing the number. I gave him the peace to say, honey, I'm not going to make it, but that's all right. I'm ready to go. I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to the children. I held her up as she was trying to understand his words. And then she realized that he wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell on the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. I'd been knocking down the door of your heart for 50 years, I said. Of course, I will show you the way home. Only you must believe in me now. I was in the base of the building with a priest ministering to the injury, the devastating souls. I took him home to tend to his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and he answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith would save them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the news. Did you not sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name. Though not all knew me, some met me for the very first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and the flame. Come to me. This is the way. Take my hand. Some did choose for the final time, but some just simply ignored me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You know not to know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment of time, would you have reached out or called out for me? September 11, 2001 was not the end of the journey for many. But someday your journey here will end. But I'll be there for you as well as I was for them. Seek me now while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. For at the moment that you know, I'll be here when you get ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your life in that final moment. Remember.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I felt like doing that message for you. I think it's a very needful message. I think it's needful for every soul. Father, we thank you for the radio ministry that we have. We thank you for all the people who have paid and prayed, Lord, to keep this ministry's mouth preaching the gospel and telling people how to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, don't forget us now. This month is birthday month. I'll be, someone said the other day, said, well, Tommy, how many birthdays do you have? I said, I have one every year. I get a year older every year. And then also it's Martha's birthday. Her going away was the last of this month. But it seems like a year has come and gone. But anyhow, if God be for us, there is no power that will ever stand against us. Always remember that Brother Tommy is praying for you and you pray for him. Well, I got to get out of here. Hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. I pray a very special blessing upon you. I hope that you are going to continue to help us in this ministry. Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call